This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening, everybody. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, and you are tuned in to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And let me just say, if you're trying to call the text line, do better in life. This is not to call in. The call-in numbers are 323-6232. However, I would prefer you text the show today, right? 422-4796. 422-4796. That's our text lines. So today's show is going to be incredible. I am super excited about this conversation. And let me just say, it's so funny that this particular conversation, I've known this guest for, I don't want to say my life, but I've known her for years and years and years. And it's so funny that when you have memories of someone from childhood all the way up, you know, it makes conversations that much more meaningful. So I really love that everybody's tuned in. And a lot of you messaged me in anticipation of this conversation. So thank you so much for that. And we are going to get started in just a second. I just want to say before we get started, though, that I'm just going to read that this is here. And I remember having 242 day when I was in school. I think it was called Flag Day. But Bahamas, let's celebrate 242 day on Saturday, February the 24th. Show your Bahamian pride by wearing your Bahamian flags, wearing the Bahamas flag colors, eating Bahamian foods, create and listen to Bahamian music, and also by donating in sequences of 242. Do something 242 times or 2.42 times. And for the merchants, consider pricing your items 242 or 2420 or $242, et cetera. Let's have fun. I mean, some of these suggestions, I don't know, very creative. I don't know if the merchant is on with this. This could go either way, but, you know, it's a wonderful initiative. So I just want to give the text lines again if you want to chime into this conversation. 422-4796, 422-4796. And if you want to listen to previous shows, if there's a show that you either missed or a portion of it was cut off when you were listening, you had to do something else, you can actually go on YouTube and search Beyond the Rock, Guardian 96.9, and you will see previous episodes pop up. And it's just as simple as that. Or DM me directly on Facebook or LinkedIn, Odaz Lightborn Benaby, and then I will go ahead and send all of the links to you that you may need to catch up on previous shows. Also, if you are a Bahamian doing incredible things, please reach out to me if you would like to be interviewed, if you have something going on that we should know about, or if you know someone that is in that position and you want us to hear from them and highlight them, go ahead and reach out to me as well. So I have a lot more awesome shows and interviews coming up. And tonight, this show is very special. I want to introduce her very quickly because where she is right now, let me see what time it is. I know it must be close to 1 a.m. And see, this is the dedication that these guests give, right? Sometimes they're in different time zones, but they're here, right? And they want to talk and share what they've been up to. And I think it's important for us to have these conversations, especially because, you know, there's just so much going on in the news. You're constantly hearing about murders and, you know, alleged rapes. And, you know, it's just so much carnage that you see on the news and in the media. And so shows like this provide, I feel, a lot of balance about not just what's going wrong in the 242 or connected to us, but what also is going extremely right. And so I am never going to give up on focusing and highlighting all of that, because these are conversations that also need to be had. Because if you are of an impressionable age and you're just seeing what's in the news and that's in your environment, you may not be able to look beyond that, right? You may not be able to dream what is beyond our borders. So whatever is beyond the rock, we want to know what Behemoth is up to. And I think it's important for us to go ahead and do that. So I am going to bring her on in just a second because, again, I'm very excited to have this conversation. One more time. Let me just get to 2-4-7-9-6. 422-4796. If you chimed in, let us know where you're listening from. I'd like to know because that's always interesting for me to know. And go ahead and send us a text and let us know, hey, I'm listening from here, I'm listening for there, et cetera, et cetera. So we are talking to Dorona Moss today. And she is, I mean, just thriving, right, in Europe. She's doing extremely well. She's in the UK. And I just want to read a little bit of her bio before we kind of have her on air. So she's a senior FF&E designer at the internationally acclaimed interior architectural practice, Tara Bernard, or Bernard and Partners. Though specializing in hospitality design, her diverse body of work also encompasses healthcare and spa design. With projects spanning much of Europe, she has worked extensively with some of the world's top luxury hotel operators, including Mandarin Oriental, Six Senses, and the Hyatt. Dorona, are you in the house tonight? Are you here?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Ah, perfect.
What time? Hi. I'm great. What time is it? Please tell us.
So not quite as late as you said. It's 11:38. Ooh, so that's quite late.
I still we appreciate you. Let's just say that. We definitely appreciate you for staying up. Did you have to take a nap earlier or did you power through the whole day?
Thank you for having me. I'm working from home tomorrow, so I think I should be okay. I have a little bit of a lie-in, so okay. It's not too bad.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I just read your bio, introduce who you are, and I just want to start the conversation right off, right? How long have you actually been outside of the Bahamas, and could you just give us a bit of your journey? Tell us, like, how it all came about.
Well, I've been in London now for just gone 17 years, ooh, which is sounds really long when
that's
I say
amazing.
It now, actually.
Well, you look 17, so nobody knows, right?
Well, it's just pretty much half my life almost, which is quite scary because I still think of myself as very Bahamian, but I suppose I've been here for quite a long time.
Yes.
So I've been here for 17 years. I spent 3 years in Fort Lauderdale when I was in art school. The rest of the time, obviously, has been in Nassau.
Right, right. So tell us a little bit. So how did this happen, right? Because and I like to start conversations here because did you just wake up one day and said, okay, the UK is going to be it for me? Like how was that process? Did you have friends over there? Like what happened exactly?
It's quite funny, actually. So my sister was living in London for a while. She was studying law, and we all went as a family to when she was called to the bar. So I had just started university. It was, I think, 2002 or something like that. And we went over for the summer, well, during summer. And I didn't really think anything of it. I mean, I was excited to go because I always liked traveling, but didn't really think too much about it. Actually, let me start. Okay, it actually starts with a pair of shoes, which sounds very
odd. A pair
odd,
of shoes, do tell. Do tell, we're all tuned in now. Do tell, go ahead.
I had these shoes that everyone used to make fun of me for. They're basically pointy toe flats, and they had almost every color of rainbow in a stripe going around the entire shoe. And I thought they were the most amazing shoes. I used to wear them with whatever I could wear them with, and my family just would make so much fun of me. I mean, I remember my sister saying I wasn't allowed to wear them with her in public because she was embarrassed. Like, I just love them. And I remember, like, they just thought I was nuts about these shoes. And so when we went to London in 2002, I remember we got the train to central London. And I remember just getting off the train, walking down the platform. And I mean, I had literally just been off the train for maybe 10, 20 seconds. And this woman walked by and she was wearing the same shoes. And I just like instantly was like, I've actually found my people.
Yes.
And I remember like pointing it out and my sister saying something like, oh yeah, it turns out not just you has bad, like other people have bad taste too.
Oh, please.
But I just instantly, I mean, I felt a strong resonance with the energy of the city. I instantly felt a sense of belonging. And I just remember saying, oh, I'm going to live here one day. And I didn't know how it would work, or the right. fact that, like, you can't just rock up to other people's countries because you want to. But I just had made this decision that I was going to live here one day. Then obviously went back to Fort Lauderdale, finished up my schooling. And over the course of the next couple of years, I actually only then realized that I was eligible for UK citizenship through my mother. So it happened quite, I mean, as luck would have it. So by the time I graduated, I came back home and I just started saving up because I was like, okay, I'm going to go to London. And also in the back of my mind, I thought, what a fantastic place to be able to get experience working. Because initially I just always thought, oh, I'll go there for a few years. I'll come back home. What a great place to get started in my career. And then I just obviously.
Yeah, to gain some experience and, you know, come back over. But instead you stayed. That's very interesting. So when you actually settled in, okay, so you're at the point now where it's like, okay, I've landed, you know, you're grabbing your bags. What was that like? What was the feeling like? How did you feel?
I was excited. I mean, okay. I wasn't afraid at all. I had, before I left, just to be clear, in between the time of graduating and moving, it was probably about 3 years. So I was really like almost hyper focused on the move at that point.
Right.
I was doing loads and loads of research. I almost made like this Bible of everything I needed to know. I knew exactly the order of which I had to do everything in, about like, you know, like life admin things like bank accounts and registering with a GP and getting a national insurance card, like all the boring stuff. I had almost everything printed out, written down. So I was actually just quite excited because I felt I was as prepared as I could have been.
Okay.
It was just a matter of getting settled and finding somewhere to live. And also, I must mention, I did move with a very good friend of mine. So it was, because there were two of us, I also think that helped a little bit.
Yes. So, okay, yeah. So moved with a friend of yours, that helped. Yeah, and it does help, right? Because you feel like you already have a built-in community. So,
yeah, and we knew a couple of people who lived in London at the time. So it wasn't like, you know, just going somewhere where you don't know anything or anyone. I felt pretty prepared. Yeah.
Yeah, so you weren't flying blind. So now that you're settled in, you've got your card and you've opened the bank account, which seems to be the most complex thing I've ever, because I actually read upon it. But in preparation for this show, and I was like, that is quite the journey, right?
It was really difficult, actually, because it's kind of a catch-22. It's tricky opening a bank account without a job, and it's tricky getting a job without a bank account. And it's extremely impossible doing any of the two without a fixed address. So in the end, HSBC had, I think they still have it actually. It's called a passport account. And I think it's more geared up towards like people who are traveling around, like young people traveling around. Right. But it's basically, I think you pay a small amount monthly and then you can have an account with them. So I think I actually got started with that account.
Okay.
And then eventually as I got settled and I found somewhere to live and I found a job, then I kind of like slowly transition to current account. But yeah, it's really tricky. It's really, really tricky.
Because I did Google. Go ahead, sorry.
I'm actually trying to think back to how the order in which it happened, but I just remember it being like super complicated.
That was the thing that stood out, right? Because I was reading a bit of, you know, just experiences from, namely persons from the Caribbean, because we have, you know, different things that are unique to us in this region of the world. Ooh. And the one thing that stood out was everyone complaining about the bank account. So I said, you know what? I must ask Darona about this thing, because why does this keep coming up?
Yeah.
I
do wonder what it's like now, though, because I couldn't tell you the last time I've gone into a bank. Like, nobody uses cash anymore. Nobody goes into the bank. So I don't know if it's changed now or if it's even more difficult, because now banks are closing. Like, that's quite a big problem here now, that actual bank branches are closing because nobody really uses them anymore.
Right.
So I'd be quite curious to know what that process is like now. I guess it's all just done online.
Yeah, I don't know. These accounts were not necessarily recent, so I have no clue. Seeming, you know, kept showing up. So you're in London now. You're a bit in, you know, integrated a little bit. You've got friends that you see at the pub. I'm making all of this up, obviously. This is what I'm imagining, right?
No, this is exactly what it is.
Is that exactly what it is?
Yeah.
And so let's talk now career, right? Because obviously you're in a very creative career, and the integration into the market there, how was that for you? Like, how were you received, right? After going to school and, you know, having a little bit of experience, like, what was that like for you?
It was actually the main issue with finding a job was that everybody wants you to have UK work experience. So that was the main challenge. In terms of when I finally did find a job, I think it was very easy, quite seamless. I think we have a lot in common with English people, a lot more than I think we realize culturally. So I think it's also quite interesting that everyone here thinks I'm American. But then everyone here thinks I'm American. I even got it today, and it's like an ongoing joke at every office I've ever worked at.
Okay, before you continue, what do you think those indicators are? Because that's very interesting.
To them, my accent is American. I just sound like an American.
Wow.
Sometimes people say, "Oh, are you Canadian?" Because I think they think it's a bit sensitive. Are you Canadian?
But they don't want to offend, right? They don't want to offend. So Canadian is safe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think it's quite funny because to them I sound American, but then as you get chatting, I think we have a lot more in common as like Commonwealth countries with the UK than Americans do. So
agree.
Yeah, I found it fairly seamless actually. The main issue for me actually, career wise, was the change from feet and inches to metric.
It
was quite tricky, but you know, the more you do it, the easier it is.
So I have a couple texts. So this one says, let me just read this. Hi Dazzy, tuned in from London as well. Okay, well, you're up late. Thank you so much for tuning in. This other text says, tuned in from Miami, loving these interviews so far. Well, thank you. Tuned in from Carmichael Road, I love her accent. Well, you don't sound American to us, I guess, right? That is funny, Carmichael Road. So this other text says, the UK is the true motherland. LOL, bank drama. Yes, it is still the same. Had to go through the process 2 years ago. Okay, well, there you have it. I guess not much has changed. Well, I mean, here, y'all behave yourself. Anyway, let's not talk about it. Let's move along. So you're settled in, you're integrated, you're working. Let's talk a little bit of lifestyle adaptation, right? Because obviously the weather and the climate is different. The activities, I'm assuming, is a little different. You know, everybody's not like, you know, running to the beach. So what was that like, just in terms of like, okay, getting used to the new climate, getting used to new activities and hobbies, like take us a little bit down that journey.
Oh God, the weather is just like, the weather is atrocious.
Hold on. You really, like, it's not just because, I mean, we see pretty pictures of greenery as well. Is it that bad?
I'll tell you what it is. I think people think that it's just raining all the time.
Okay.
And it's not. It's actually worse than that. It's just like, particularly London, because London is in the southeast, so it's quite mild. So if you look at somewhere like Manchester, it does rain a lot. However, in London, it's just like nothingness. It's like murky gray, windy one minute, not windy the next. It's never very warm. It's never very cold. It's just like nothing. And then you get the odd random like shower, you might get some hail, you might get some gusty wind. It's just like changeable all the time. And to be honest, it's actually getting a little bit better, I think, because of climate change. We've been having a lot more heat waves, but then the problem there is that we're not really set up for hot weather, so no matter what it is, everyone just complains about it. It's the cultural way to complain about the weather.
Is that like a common bonding point?
I remember when I just started working, actually, not long after I moved here. And I moved here in January, and partially because I wanted to experience the weather, come in the summer and have mild temperatures and then have to adjust to the winter. So I thought, start from the beginning of the year, the most kind of depressing part of the year, and it can only get better. So I just started working. It must have been maybe February. Yeah, maybe around February or March. And we were just having the worst weather. And I used to work in this big sort of like 8-story glass building, just like glass everywhere. And it got so, it was like hurricane weather in And then it started hailing. And I had, like, it probably was the first time I properly saw hail. And I genuinely turned around to my colleague and was like, do you think they're going to send us home? And he just looked at me
right,
like,
because it looks like an emergency to me, you know.
Like, what do you mean? You know, I just always think we're being at home. If it rains a bit hard, then, oh, yeah, we should probably go home before the wolves get.
For sure.
And he just looked at me like I had three heads. It's like, why would they send us home? I was like, it's hailing. I'm sorry.
Do you not see?
Hurricane force winds. And we're in a tall glass building. And he's just like, yeah, no.
That's
what I realized. You just work through. I've worked through so many storms, like actual names. Like, we name the storms now.
Hold on. What do you mean? You mean there's a storm that has a name and you're at work?
Yeah. So they're not normal. As strong as hurricanes, okay. But they started naming them now. And you get them like every so often, mostly during winter, actually. And yeah, I just remember actually maybe 2 years ago, there was one quite bad one. And I was walking to work and a branch fell out of the tree. And I was just like, oh, actually, maybe today was one of the days I should have worked from home. But yeah, you just kind of get on with it.
I kind of like that attitude because, you know, it's very, very different from what we're used to. So that must have been quite the adjustment. Let me just read another text coming in. So this one says, tuned in from London, really enjoying the show. Why, thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to text in and let us know where you're tuned in from, 422-4796, 422-4796. Also, if you have a question for our guest tonight, Dorona, please go ahead and text your question in. I already saw your text. Please don't. This person has triple texted, right? I'm starting to memorize the numbers, right? So this is this same person texts every show and they always want to know about dating, right? So they're always, whoever this is, they're always curious. And this is like, and then they triple text me, Dazzy, you didn't ask yet. Just give us a second. We're going to get to that, right? So what I want to do is actually take a quick commercial break. And then on the other side of this show, we're going to get into a lot more. We're going to get into more topics, obviously. And then we're going to touch on the dating, right? So you're going to have to stick and stay for the juicy bits because I know that's what you're really interested in. If you want to text more questions in the meantime, 422-4796, 422-4796. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. Please stick and stay. We'll be right back.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible, no more brick and mortar, get digital, SAG is right here for you, U.S., Canada, Bahamas, you can build a website for your products, accepting credit cards or digital payments, we make it easy to process it seamless, Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering or listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. Thank you.
And we are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And tonight we are talking to Dorona Moss, and she is all the way in the UK, London to be specific. And it's like 11 o'clock or something at night. So this just goes to show that, you know, Bahamians abroad have to talk to us and to really make that connection and let us know what they're up to and how Bahamians are thriving. And these are super important conversations for us to have. So I'm very pleased to host this show and for us to have them. So I just want to quickly say that if you need either e-commerce setup or you need a payment solution, and this is for my online entrepreneurs, if you're having an issue with like PayPal or Stripe shut you down again, and you're really having trouble making a solution to stitch, you know, payments from online to your Bahamian bank account, go ahead and check out SAG. And so the Sebastian Alliance Group, their website is SEBASALLIANCE.com. They have an online store builder. They've got payments. They even have financing, I think, primarily targeted to businesses registered abroad. I have to double check. But if you are a longtime follower of the show, when I used to do, I think it was back when I did Trendwatch. Ali, what year was Trendwatch? Was that like 2018, 2019? It was a long time ago, right? So if you were tuned in when I used to do Trendwatch, I actually had Sebastian on the show. And this was at the very beginning of, you know, that whole process. It's working seamlessly. There are so many people that are pleased with the service. And so if you are a Bahamian, but you wish your clients to be pretty much, go ahead and check out the website. And you could also DM me or message me if you want more details. So he has figured out, him and his team have figured out, you know, the payment solutions so that there's no break. There's no, you know, being your funds being frozen. And if you are a long time online entrepreneur, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you're having challenges with, you know, online payments being frozen, go ahead and check out the group. And again, it's sebasalliance.com. Go ahead and check them out. So Dorona, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. You sound so wide awake. I really appreciate you. This is
as soon as the laptop is closed, I will be
right. I don't blame you at all. So we've got another text coming in. Let me just read this very quickly. So this one says, good evening, tuned in from Winton Heights. Thank you so much for tuning in. That is amazing. I have another one here. Good evening, tuned in from New York, more specifically Manhattan. Okay, thank you so much. I love Manhattan. I know it's changing every day, but it's such an alive city, you know?
Well, you never know. Great city.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They say London and Manhattan, right? So do you agree or disagree?
I wouldn't say clean. It used to be maybe a few years ago, but yeah.
Right.
Well, thanks for changing slightly.
Oh boy. We'll leave that where that is. So let's get back into the conversation. So we were talking a little bit about, you know, your career journey, how that has been. And I want to talk a little bit about just the social side of things, right? So we're not going to get to the dating yet. We do have another commercial break, so you're gonna have to stick and stay. I'm sorry. Like you gotta hang in there and don't text me anymore, please. We are going to get to it. I promise you 100%. So let's talk a little bit about social. So what has that been like in terms of, let's talk specifically neighborhood. Are you friends with your neighbors? Do you feel comfortable there? What is it like to actually live and, you know, have a social life in and about the city?
I am actually friends with my neighbors, and I think that might be rare in London.
I would think
But yeah, I actually think COVID helped a lot because, I mean, you sort of see the same people and you say hello, you kind of know their names, and you're not like super close. But during COVID, I live in a development, and we basically have like a WhatsApp group and a Facebook group. And during COVID, when we were locked down for 17,000 years, people just started offering to go grocery shopping for other people who may have been like ill and couldn't go out, that kind of thing. So we kind of got to know each other a little bit, and we've carried it on since COVID. So if anyone's like, oh, does anybody know who supplied our flooring when the building was built? Or does anybody? So there's always like chatter on there. And every now and again, somebody's always like, oh, we should have drinks in the communal garden. And then nobody does it because then I think that's getting it a little bit too deep for English people.
Right,
because then
right.
You actually know people's names and recognize them. And it's a little bit too close.
Yeah, let's keep it shallow, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to know what Jessica looks like. I know what Jessica talks like on WhatsApp. I don't want to know her personally because then you can't get away. But yeah, you can't, like, you, I know enough of them. I can, like, I'll take a package in for somebody if they're not there, and like I see them in the lift or whatever. It's close enough, but not too close.
That's fantastic. So tell me, and I'm curious about this. So this is like my question. Nobody asks this. Do you own a car? Do you drive? Do you just take like the tube and walk everywhere?
No, no. What's happening there? I don't even have a parking space. It's like, I hate once every 2 years when I come home and I have to.
You're living the dream, Dorona. Living the dream, Dorona, I will say.
Well, driving is really expensive here. And it's really inconvenient, and they make it inconvenient because they try to discourage you from doing it, which I totally understand. And I just avoid it. I do have a UK driving license because I kept losing my Bahamian, and every time I would come home, I would have to just get a new one.
Right.
To the point where my husband was like, sorry, this is going off slightly on a tangent. We went to one of these High Commission Independence Day parties years and years ago.
Yes.
And Glenys Hannah Martin was there.
Yes.
And she was like greeting people. And he's like, oh, it's all the politicians by name. I was like, I don't know who she is.
How?
And he was like, we go to road traffic every time we go home. Her picture's on the wall.
Sorry, this is embarrassing. I'm sorry.
It's really bad. So I was like, actually, I need to just get a UK driver's license because then I'll actually use it and I won't keep losing it.
Right.
I have driven 0 times in the UK since I passed my test with 2019.
Well, you can if you needed to. So that's all that
at
matters.
At this point, I don't even know.
So I like your idea. I like your answer with the social part and the neighbors and, you know, the community on that side. So what do you do? Like, okay, for example, we all know what we do back at home on like a long weekend or a holiday. Do you do, cause you're so close to Europe and flights are so cheap. I was watching this video and this girl wanted to get a pizza from Italy, and it was cheaper for her to fly to Italy.
Yeah. Then I know where this is going.
You know where it's going, right? So are you doing this? Are you living this life? Is this happening for you?
Yeah, we tend to, if we have a long weekend, we'll always go, well, not always, but usually try to maybe go somewhere. Because it is, like, it's actually cheaper to go somewhere than to stay in the UK.
Ooh.
I find, like, UK hotels are extremely expensive.
Right.
UK, like, the trains are really expensive. So actually fly somewhere, like, even if you want, and on top of that, then you know you're guaranteed nice weather.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I just remember during COVID, actually, when we couldn't travel anywhere, we went to for our anniversary, we booked in a like really nice hotel, like in Surrey, something like that.
Right.
So we ended up just taking like an Uber there. It was like, I don't know, maybe like an hour drive. It was literally a long weekend was more expensive than like maybe a week's holiday somewhere abroad. It's just so expensive. It's really, and we didn't even take the train there.
Oh my
God. So I find it more economical to go somewhere else.
Just to go somewhere else. That's very interesting. We kind of have that same
thing
here.
Which is a shame, actually.
It's a shame, but isn't it similar here? Because I often hear Bahamians say like, okay, I could go to a family island, right? But if I just go to Miami, it's like the same price.
That
right?
is true, actually.
So
yeah,
it's sometimes even cheaper when you look at like hotel deals, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very strange how that it's kind of parallel in that way. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is true. I probably should explore a little bit more around the UK, but again, I hate driving, and that's sometimes the easiest way to do it.
Well, my other question, in terms of like, what else, what other parts of the UK have you actually seen? Like, have you done, you know, Scotland? Have you popped over to Ireland?
Yeah.
Have you popped over to Wales?
At one point I was working on a project in Scotland, and I've been there a couple of times.
Which
but
city?
Only to Edinburgh. I'd really like to do the Highlands and explore a little bit more.
Right.
I've seen a little bit of the UK, actually. It's like, I've not gone nowhere, if that makes sense, but
right.
I'm not. It's usually work related. I also worked on a project in Dorset, which was really beautiful, which is in the south. I've seen a little bit. And my husband's from a town called Stamford, which is in the Midlands.
Okay.
Near Peterborough. So I've seen a little bit around, and that area is really, really pretty. I've been to the Cotswolds and I've seen a little bit, but not as much as probably I should.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's, well, that, you know, hey, you still have time. So, because you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
You could always do it. So do you miss anything about the Bahamas itself, like while you're there? Or do you, is your connection sufficient? Like, I know you and I are in like a mutual WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I love hearing your perspectives about what's actually happening versus the news. But do you miss it at all?
Yeah, of course I do. And like, to be honest, it gets easier the longer I'm away.
Okay.
But then I get a random like pang of homesickness. And then I'm like, oh, I just want to go home. And there's a few of us here, actually. So that's quite nice to like have that connection still. But yeah, I do miss it. I'm coming home in May. I'm really excited. I haven't been home in so long.
Oh, lovely.
So
okay.
Looking forward to that. Yeah,
for sure.
But I do. I really miss it. I miss the weather. I miss being at the beach. I'll swim in anything these days. It's like my standards
have they lowered?
Completely fallen through the floor. I will swim in absolutely anything. And I feel like that's maybe a bit sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to make do, right? So... You have to do what you can with what you have. So that's a positive thing. So have you found like your family is supportive of your move, you know, over all these years? Is there any pressure like, oh, Dorono, you need to come back home? Because it's interesting when I have these conversations, nobody will so far I've not encountered anyone who's had an unsupportive family. But I always like to hear stories. Once I started this show, of persons who reached out to me and they said, you know, I would have been able to do this had I stayed in such and such. And I get so many of those messages. Some have regrets, yeah. Some don't have regrets. But how supportive is your family? Have they just accepted that is where your life is now? Is there any pressure at all?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think they've accepted it. And they're really supportive. They come over more and more often now. So that's quite nice and it's fun. And also it means that like if I don't get home as often, at least I still get to see them. So that's really nice. But yeah, they have been really supportive. I have another sister who also lives, but she lives in the Netherlands. So because there are two of us on this side,
I was two against one.
We just try to like get back and forth as much as we can, really.
Don't worry. You have a sister I'm going to work on very soon. I hope she's listening.
Yeah, I know.
I plan to work on you, ma'am. So.
Oh, she's been in bed for at least 4 hours.
Agree.
She's an early bird.
So let me ask you also. So talking about, you know, travel and just pretty much like the lifestyle of, you know, being in a hub, has there been anywhere else, you know, in Europe, in the UK itself that you have plans to go to? And it doesn't have to be in Europe. It could extend as far as, you know, to the continent of, you know, regions of Asia or,
UAE. I plan my holidays like at the beginning of the year for the whole year. I'm slightly obsessed.
So is there any plan to relocate at any point or you're comfortable?
Oh, you mean like fully relocating?
Yeah, not the holidays. Because I know I will say this, and this is so funny, but you know what I always remember about you in school, Dorono? Your handwriting was always, right? Yeah, and then you went through a phase where you did like, do you remember you did the little hearts as the calligraphy?
I also did the calligraphy.
I was so inspired by that, but I lacked the... What do they call it? Tactile kinesthetic skills to mimic it. But I will never forget that because I don't remember which class it was, looking at your paper and I was like, this is lovely, right? why don't you write like this? How random is that, right?
But I actually think my handwriting's really bad now.
That's a shame.
I barely write anymore. That's the problem.
Oh, that's a shame. That was when we were at the height of our Lisa Frank era. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were obsessed with it. God, yeah, so that's obsessed. What I remember. I remember seeing your handwriting and being so impressed, right?
Yeah, also like when I had to learn like architectural writing, which is like capital letters.
Oh.
And I think it's like I still write a little bit of cursive, but I just don't write anything other than for work. And usually it's in all caps because that's just the way. Yeah. It's kind of, and I feel like I want to get back into calligraphy as well. Yeah,
things we have lost along the way. No, it was exceptional. And that is like one of the clearest memories. I mean, other things as well, but I always remember when I saw that, how just in awe I was. Because, you know, there's no way I could do that, right? And that always stood out. So I said, this is a life hack. Because even if she gets the answers wrong, like as a teacher, how could you be upset at this, right? It's so pretty.
At least it looks nice.
It looks good. So yeah, is there any plans to leave London or are you good?
No.
Okay.
No. I very much like, as the longer I've been here, like as we get older, a lot of friends like, when you buy houses, you move further out because it's really expensive to stay central. And I just don't, like, I feel like if I wanted to live in the suburbs, I'd just go home and live near the beach. I don't, I feel like the point for being here is being in the metropolis and being in the city. And, like, in the case of, like, I don't know, a zombie invasion, I want to be able to walk home. I don't want to be stranded anywhere. Like, I just like knowing that I live close to the center of town. And the worst comes to worst, anything happens, I could feasibly walk home and not rely on public transport or Uber or anything like that. And I just love being in a city. I like the energy of a city. I don't mind the odd, like, country break, but I like the silence just freaks me out, actually.
It is hilarious.
I don't like when it's too quiet.
Yeah, you need, like, you want to hear the life, the busyness. And it's hilarious you talk about, you know, the zombie. Because I use that metric for a lot of things, right? Silently. I love that you said that out loud, right? Because it's the truth. Like, if it was to happen, how would this decision affect, you know, my mobility? So I just want to quickly, and this is just so we could, you know, we got to get the bills paid, right? Let's take a commercial break. Mm-hmm. On the other side, because, you know, the text is, I don't know if it's a she or he, they texted in again, one more time and said, you know, gentle reminder. So on the other side of this break, we are going to talk about the dating and what that was like in the entire process. Since that's, and I don't know, Dorona, how this happened, but every show now, it's like a thing. So I'm sorry, we have to do it, right? So let's just take a commercial break. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And tonight we are talking to Dorona Moss all the way in the UK, more specifically London. So please stick and stay. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about dating and how that was for her. So please stick and stay. We'll be right back.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible with our e-commerce and digital. SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy to process it seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian. News and views that matter since 1844.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy, and we're having an amazing conversation. I mean, I'm having so many laughs about this with Dorona Moss, and she's an amazing Bahamian doing wonderful things abroad. And we're just having a conversation tonight, very casual. It is nothing o'clock where she is. So, you know, we appreciate her dedication to this conversation. If you have any questions, 422, you want to ask our guest, where you're listening from, go ahead and text 422-4796. If you're outside of the jurisdiction, it's 242-422-4796. And yeah, you could go ahead and reach out to us. So Dorona, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. So this is the drum roll time that the text has been waiting on, right? Four texts later. And the question is, what was dating like? Obviously, you referenced your husband, so I'm sure that, you know, that answered some questions. But what was dating like? And, you know, tell us a little bit of your journey when you got married, you know. Tell us, just give us some tea, you know. Some
old London tea. I mean, like any big city, I think there's obviously lots of people, and you always meet people and like go out. Well, this was back when, before really the apps. So you just meet people in pubs and bars and that kind of thing. But I mean, it's a little bit of a dumpster fire as well, like any big city. It's just like, I guess you meet a lot of people, but it's like
the filtering through.
Like even in terms of friendships, it's like forming a connection with somebody can be really difficult. A transient city. So, you know, you might meet somebody and be friends or like see them for a couple of years and then they decide to go back home, because so many people here are not, like they're Londoners, they're not English, they're not British, from everywhere. So, it was interesting. But I met my husband fairly quickly after, I think it was maybe like just over a year after I moved here. And it was just very nice and it felt very comfortable. And yeah, we got married. Well, we've been together probably about, I want to say like almost 16 years now. And we've been married for almost 9 years. So yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, congratulations. I hope that answers any questions. Okay. No, they just sent another text. So the question is, let me read this question. This is hilarious.
Oh, God.
Was your wedding in London or in the Bahamas, or did you have both? Did you have two?
No, it was in Bahamas. It was in Eleuthera.
Oh, lovely.
And then quite a lot of our friends came over, which was really, really nice. But yeah.
Yeah, I actually do remember the photos. They were amazing.
I always wanted to be married on the beach. So that was really nice. And I think like for our guests from here, it was a bit of a novelty as well, because you can't really get married outside in the UK.
Interesting.
There's some very weird laws, and that's why like getting married here is really expensive, because first of all, you only have a short season to do it based on the weather, and you have to do it in like a registered venue, so they just charge you whatever they want. It's really expensive. Yeah.
So here's another question. And this is a text as well. This text wants to know, in what ways do you think your background as a Bahamian influences your perspective on life in London?
Oh, I think compared to British people, I'm fairly laid back. Like, even now, I think compared, my family think I'm the opposite. I think they think I'm very,
like, you're uptight and regimented.
Super uptight, super like obsessive. Like when they come over, I have an itinerary that's like 8 a.m. get out of bed.
But they should be appreciative of this. Like, you're responsible and you're maximizing the vacation travel time.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You're not here for very long.
You're considerate
of
their right. Exactly. Right.
But so for them, I'm just like really uptight, reserved. I think they're very loud. They think like I can't handle the noise. However, even at work today, I said something and it came out so loud. Everyone went, "Oh my God."
The volume.
I was like, "Oh, was that really loud?" So I think it's just like a sliding scale of like, the longer I'm here, I kind of slide more to that side. But like, English people are like, "You are really loud and really social and not English at all."
That is hilarious.
Yeah, so it's quite funny that actually, but God, I can't even remember what the question was.
You've answered it. It talked about the ways that your background as a Bahamian influences.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I'm really, really, really chilled out compared to most English people, and I'm like, I will like, not on public transport or anything, because that is just weird here. But I'll chat to people like, if they like, if you're in a pub or you're standing around or like something funny happens, like I'm happy to like chat to people, whereas like that's not really
considered.
I mean, it depends on the situation,
right?
But, yeah.
So let me ask you. So this popped up, excuse me, but there was a big trend that was going on around recently on TikTok with Tube Girl. I don't know if you saw anything about that.
No.
Okay. So the premise was, and she actually ended up doing like some sort of modeling gig. But what she was doing is she would be on the tube, right? And she would video herself like lip syncing and dancing. And let me tell you, I've never seen a more group of stoic bystanders.
Yeah, no, that is really like, if
Dorona,
you see people doing stuff like that in
flinch.
Public, you just ignore it.
They didn't even look at her. There was no.
You don't make eye contact on the tube.
There was
no
eye contact.
It's really uncomfortable.
You know, it's just like she wasn't there. And so I remember someone asking her in the commentary, you know, how are you able to do this so confidently? And she goes, well, if you look at the people, nobody's looking at me. No one literally cares. So is that exactly what it is then?
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, when my family are here, like, mommy will just like start talking to anybody. I'm like, you don't talk, you don't look at them. Don't make eye contact. It's really, I think what it is actually is that you're on the tube, especially if you're in rush hour and you have this like glaring, awful overhead bright light. Like nobody, it's not a flattering look for anyone. The last thing you want to do is when somebody's right up in your face is start having a conversation with somebody you don't know.
Right.
And it's not considered rude, but it's not
intrusive.
The done thing to like look at people or speak to them unless they have a dog. That then everyone will speak to you. If you have a cute dog, people will just start speaking to you. Or like if something really, really weird happens and everyone will just like look up from their phones, like smile and then look down again. But typically it like you just kind of mind your own business.
That's pretty funny.
Even if somebody's singing in the corner.
That's pretty funny. So another question that I have, and I'll loop back to this, but I just had a text and the text is asking for advice. So let me just read it quickly. So it says, hi, can you please ask your guest for advice if I wanted to relocate? So this is very broad, but I guess we can narrow this down in terms of where the gaps in the market would be or, you know, when Bahamians obviously come over, they're pretty broad.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips at all for the texter?
Yeah, there's actually, I'm not sure like what the website is, but there's definitely like a skills shortage list that the government have been recruiting via. So I know, for example, off the top of my head, what people working in the NHS, we always need people working in the NHS.
And that's
people
the
in
National
the construction
Health
industry.
Service?
Sorry?
What is that? NHS, National Health Service?
Yeah, so okay. like people in healthcare, nurses, particularly doctors, GPs, always looking for people like that. And especially after Brexit, where we've lost so many people who've gone back to Europe.
I didn't want to touch Brexit, but yes. We don't have an additional hour for the show to get to wade through that, but I kept up with that pretty closely because I was just so shocked. But anyway,
I
know.
Dumpster fire. Anyway, maybe if you have a Google, there might be a website that tells you which roles they are looking for. There's a few of them,
okay.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to say, all I know for sure is definitely anything in healthcare. There's always.
Right.
So that would be a good place to start.
Okay, text. I hope that answers your question. So if you are in the healthcare industry, you've got, okay. So the text is back. Yes, I'm a nurse. Okay. Well, there you go. You are,
definitely.
You should be a shoo-in.
I don't know I don't know what the process is, but there definitely is one and they're always looking because we have a real shortage of, healthcare.
Yeah. So text, go ahead and do some Googling. It seems like in a lot of countries right now, that's pretty much wide open, right? So, I know the U.S. has like shortages, you know, all over the world. So definitely healthcare. There are some advantages to being in healthcare. You do have options. So go ahead and check it out. So I do have a quick question about the health system before we wrap up. And how have you found that? Because I know, you know, the system is it similar to ours? Because I do know that it's, you know, more socialized healthcare.
Actually,
it's not like more
I
private
centric. I don't even
centric.
Know. Like,
yeah.
I can't even, I have not a huge memory of what it is like at home. I think it may have changed since I've left as well. I'm not really sure, but like, I mean, the healthcare system is a bit of an enigma and it's a really hot topic at the moment because it's
really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in the years I've been here, it's really gone downhill. It's been pretty defunded. Some people will say on purpose. Some people will say, well, I don't even want to get into that,
right.
but there's a sort of belief that it's been, well, a lot of it has been privatized already. A lot of people have private healthcare now.
Okay.
Even I have private healthcare. It's almost become standard. But it's a very weird system now because even private doctors are still NHS doctors. So all it will help on wait times now.
So that's very similar to how it is here now, because there's a lot that's gone private as well. But you'd see the doctors in the same, you know, you see them in their private clinic and then they're also in the hospital. So
yeah, but I do like it is actually it's still a lot better than the American system. You like if you like you will never go in debt because you have medical bills here. You just won't. But you might have to wait a little bit longer if you don't have a really good private coverage.
Right.
So yeah, it's a bit tricky at the moment, but it's much better than like it being fully privatized.
Right.
It just needs some funding basically. And some people.
And some people. Right. So, yeah. Okay, Dexter, nurse. I mean, we hate to lose you, but do what it is that you need to do and Godspeed. And just, like Dorona said, Google it. So I want to just get some final words from you. I really appreciate you coming on and being so late. So far, all of these interviews have been so much fun, so engaging. And we've really, really appreciated Bahamians Abroad. So if you had one parting piece of advice for anyone listening that maybe, you know, hesitant to take, what is it that you would tell them?
Oh my gosh, it's such a difficult question.
I know, just whatever comes to mind.
I think just do your research. I think it doesn't matter if you are trying to decide if you want to move somewhere or if you want to, I don't know, go back to university and do it somewhere abroad or if you, like, whatever it is, once you do enough research and you prepare yourself enough, like, I don't think you can go wrong. The more prepared you are, the better. And I think no matter how difficult or how tricky it seems like it could be, if you are prepared and armed with all the information you need, that's all you really can do.
Yeah, and bring a sweater, right?
Yeah, oh my God, bring every layer that you have.
Right.
Including waterproof.
Agree. And your, what do they call it? My daughter says not to call them galoshes. What do you call the boots? The rain boots?
Oh, wellies.
Wellies, yes.
The rain boots. Yeah.
Because I actually have a pair, but we use them for something different, right? But yeah, that's definitely necessary.
Definitely come in handy. Well, even in London.
Exactly. Dorona, listen, thank you so much. We are actually, this is the end of the show, and I really appreciate you sitting with us. It's been very informative. It's been a good time. I'm loving the momentum that the show is bringing. So thank you so much. I just want to tell you that.
Thank you for having
me. I appreciate it. All right.
Yeah, great. No, this has been great. It's been really fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So yeah, you are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And yes, this has been another interview. Please go ahead and reach out to me if you are either a Bahamian abroad or you know someone abroad that you want to hear from and hear what they're doing, what they're up to, and what that transition was. I've got a lot more amazing, trying to find Bahamians from all corners of the earth, right? No matter the time zone, no matter what it is that they're doing. And you don't have to be in any particular project or career mode, you know, no matter what it is, once it's something amazing, we want to know about it. We want to hear from you. If you want to go ahead and reach out to me, please do. Facebook or LinkedIn is the easiest. Odaz Lightborn Benaby. And this is our show for tonight. So, you know, thank you so much for your support, everyone. Thank you for all of your texts. And I will talk to you again next Tuesday. This is Beyond the Rock and your host, Dazzy. Have a good night.